This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, a look at a new exhibit at the Lloyd Library, The Forest for the Trees. Also, advice for shoppers as we head into the holidays. But first, the Ohio Bookstore on Main Street in Cincinnati is a book lover's dream, a five-story building filled with books and magazines. The store, celebrating its 75th year in operation, was founded by James Hardwick in 1940. Hardwick's longtime employee was Jim Fallon, and he's owned the bookstore for the last 50 years. And the Ohio Bookstore also provides custom bookbinding and restoration of old books. Jim Fallon joins us along with local historian and author Bob Wimberg to talk about the bookstore, what it has to offer, and how it stayed successful throughout the decades. Jim and Bob, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you. Welcome.
Jim, any idea how many books you've actually got in the store?
Well, we have about 325,000 volumes, and they go from the basement up to the fourth floor, covering almost everything, all fields that have been written about, from archaeology to zoology.
So how do you accumulate that many books?
Well, we've been in business for 75 years, and we buy libraries from the Midwest, individuals who either pass on or they're moving to a smaller area for a home or a condo, and they can't take all their library with them, so they give us a call and we come out and buy their library.
But you've got books that cover all ranges, all different topics?
All ranges, yes, sir.
Bob, tell us about the building that the Ohio Bookstore is located in. They've been in two buildings. The one they're in right now is pretty historically significant, isn't it?
Well, the building they're in now, and been in since about 1960, I'd say, was built in 1915, so the building is 100 years old, too. I mean, it's celebrating an anniversary. And it was a paint factory and a couple other factories, and then eventually it became the bookstore. It's a steel-reinforced poured concrete building, so it's very structurally sound, even though it's from 1915. And the front, the facade is decorated with ceramic tiles. If you're familiar with the doctor's building on Garfield Place, it's similar to that style. And it was owned originally by the University of Cincinnati. And that's why the seal for the University of Cincinnati is on the front of the building. UC didn't have classes there, but they owned it. It was part of their inheritance from Charles McMicken, for whom McMicken Avenue is named after, and McMicken Hall at UC, and McMicken Mack the Lions in front of McMicken Hall. So it was an investment to provide income to UC. And then eventually they sold the building to Jim, to Mr. Fallon.
So when did you move into that spot, Jim?
Well, we moved in that building actually in 1961.
Okay.
We were where the federal building is. It used to be at 544 Main Street, and now we're at 726 Main Street.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. You can also email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jim, how did you get involved with the Ohio Bookstore?
Well, when I was in the eighth grade, I had an aunt who was a secretary there, and she called my father up and asked if I'd like to come to work, and I started going to work every day. After school from the eighth grade, I would get on a bus from Norwood, Ohio, and go downtown, and I worked there and worked every day, 6 days a week after school and on Saturday, and then all through when I was in Purcell High School for the 4 years, and I went to Xavier at night. And I got out of high school in 61, and in 71, I finally bought it from him. He was retiring. He was in his late 60s and moving back to Virginia where he came from.
Bob, how did you get involved with the bookstore?
Well, I've always been interested in local history. When I came home from the Air Force in 73, I'd been in Japan for 3.5 years and took a lot of tours in Japan and studied the local history and went to Sophia University part-time to get my master's degree. And so I had a lot of interest in history. And so I applied that same interest to the Cincinnati area. And so I started to study it more intensely. And then I started to conduct the walking tours of Over the Rhine every first Saturday of the month, and then other walking tours. And then the Over the Rhine tour led to my Over the Rhine book that I persuaded Jim to publish, and which is still in print. And then the brewery book and came out in 87. And then it just went from there, Civil War book and Civil War books and the amusement park book. So Jim was gracious enough to publish these books on local history. And I think they've been met with some interest and success.
That's part of what you do is that Cincinnati Historical Series, right?
Cincinnati is one of our main people collect a lot of books on the history of Cincinnati. We have a lot of people interested in Cincinnati who love Cincinnati history. And we've published books since, Bob's first book was about, what was it, Bob?
87.
87, and we've published 31 books on the history of Cincinnati. But we actually have a collection of maybe 500 volumes on Cincinnati history from the early 1800s up to, 2015. There's just a great demand for books, rare books on Cincinnati history.
You're a big fan of city directories, too, aren't you?
We've sold all the directories from 1818, which is the first directory, up until, the 1980s. But they're so interesting because they have the names of the people who lived here, the addresses where they lived, and sometimes their occupation, along with the businesses.
So the oldest directory, was from the 1800s?
1818 is the first directory of Cincinnati.
Wow. How much is something like that worth?
About $1,200 for 1818. And there are some that you get into the 1840s that are worth $1,000 or more also. And the first book published in Cincinnati was published in 1796. It's called by William Maxwell. It's called Laws of the Northwest Territory. It's about a $100,000 book right now.
Wow. So did you what's the most unusual book that you've ever come across in your business?
I've sold all the Audubons, not the elephant folios, but the octavos, and they were tens of thousands of dollars. And,
wow.
We've sold, there's so many different books that we've sold. A lot of books that sell for $10 and $15, a person will come in and they'll act like they've won the lotto. They've been looking for this book for, maybe 10 years or so, and it's the most important thing they've sought after for 10 years or all their life trying to find this one book, and they'll come down from upstairs and the book's marked $5 or $6. And they're jumping up and down. I says, I can't believe it. I finally got this book in my hands. And what a great smile on their face. And he just made their day for the next week or two.
Is that the best part of being in this business?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, seeing people's reactions.
And then when you go out to buy a library, I haven't seen all the books, but I've seen tens of thousands of books over 59 years, and some of the things you'll see that you've never seen before that you think you've seen it, but there's always another one that turns up that's different.
Didn't you have a book on Al Capone at one point that was unusual?
A couple of the scarce books I've sold, not for a lot of money, but we had one book that was a biography of Al Capone, and I didn't want to sell it, but you have to pay bills once in a while, and he opened this book up on the front flyleaf across over to the title page. He wrote in this book in very large handwriting, "Everything in this book is a damn lie."
It was actually Al Capone.
And another one, I had a Babe Ruth signed book that I wish I wouldn't have sold, but that's past and you got to move on.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's talk with Bill in Covington. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
I have a collection of Hardy Boys books.
Okay.
The copyright on them ranges from 1927 all the way up to whatever. And I was just wondering if they were of any value.
They have value. The ones that have the most value, if they still have their dust wrapper on it, the dust wrapper is worth about half the price of the book. If they don't have the dust wrappers, they can range in price from $20 down to $5.
Thanks. Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. Bob, for someone who loves local history like you, this place has to be a treasure trove.
Oh, yeah. It was in my younger days, and I was really obsessed by getting every history of Cincinnati I could find and I could afford. And so that's what really attracted me to the store, because they always had a large supply of books such as that. And then I also read German, so they would have some more obscure or rare German items on Cincinnati history. And I really enjoyed those. And those come in handy for Over the Rhine and Cincinnati breweries to have German sources like that.
Jim, do you get a lot of people who come into the store looking for estimates on the value of books?
Nowadays, you can look up a book on the internet pretty easy, but whether it's priced right or correctly is another story. Condition means so much when you're looking at a book. And people would have books at home, they'll say, well, this looks like it in good condition. But when it comes in and we look at it, well, we either say good or poor. So condition means an awful lot, just like in antique automobiles or whatever, your home, the condition of the item designates the price.
So, and part of your business also is restoring old books and doing binding and that kind of thing. How popular is that?
It's very popular. We have a restoration department where my two sons run, and we have work backed up for 4 months at all time. We do work.
Wow.
We do work from the West Coast to the East Coast for large corporations and individuals, and all the time it takes about 4 months to get a book back, and it's not a cheap process. The starting price on anything we do on any kind of book starts about $85. Mm-hmm. And we you can bring in two books. They're exactly the same, but they're damaged in different ways. And that changes the price and how the book is going to be priced to be restored to original condition.
So what's the most common book that people bring in to have restored?
Bibles. People love their family Bible or their grandfather's, grandmother's Bible that have notes in it. And we tell them right off, you can go out and buy a new Bible similar to this for, you know, $35 or $40, but they end up spending $150 or $250.
That's a family heirloom, so there's an attachment to it.
The notes inside, and my dad had it, or my grandmother had it, and it was in their hands.
Now, how did you learn to repair books? Was there an apprenticeship?
We had two people. When I bought this business in 1982, the bookbinding business, there was two people who worked there who did just the hand bookbinding, and they were in their mid-50s at that time. And when I bought it and they came to our store in 1982 or 83, they already had 30 years worth of experience, and my son apprenticed under them. So they were bookbinders for over 50 years each.
Are there many people who still do bookbinding and
book
restoration?
Very few. I know in our city, I can just talk about my business, but we have so much work. You just have to wait 4 months to get your book back when you bring it in.
Yeah, and you were saying you get business from coast to coast.
We do work for Tiffany's all the way to the Bay Area Transit Company in San Francisco.
How does a store like yours, how does it survive in the digital age?
Customer service.
Okay.
Honesty and customer service.
And that's what differentiates you.
And a smile on your face.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's something special, too, about being actually able to go in and look around and find the book that you want and actually hold the book. I mean, that has that tangible aspect has to have a lot of appeal.
A lot of the remarks that we hear from people first walking in our door, they walk in and say, a real bookstore.
You know, it's been around for 75 years now. What do you think the Ohio bookstore is going to be around well into the future?
My sons are in their late 30s and early 40s. I think it'll be around for another 50 years for sure.
Yeah.
And we have grandchildren that I hope they take an interest in it.
Hey, can someone give you a call if they have a rare book? When you talk about customer service, can they call you up and say, help me out with this book? What's it worth?
Sure. I can give them an idea. I can't say this is what it's going to be worth or whether I'll buy it. There's a lot of rare books I won't buy because there has to be a supply and demand. It might be rare, but if nobody wants to buy it for 5 years, I wouldn't want to buy it myself. You don't need to have it sit on the shelf for 5 or 10 years before you ever sell the book.
Bob, what do you think? You think a bookstore like this has a good future in front of it?
Oh, sure. I think so. A lot of people come in and they like the feel of a book. They like the convenience of a book. I mean, if you buy a book for $5 and you take it to the beach with you and you leave it there, you're out $5. If you take some kind of electronic device that costs an arm and a leg, you know, you're really concerned. You're really worried. So I think there's a lot of convenience and handiness to books, and you can take them a lot of places that maybe you don't want to take a valuable electronic gizmo, you know. And a lot of people say, I like the feel of a real book.
And Jim, I remember when I was a kid seeing your store, my mother was a huge fan. She loved to come in, and at the time, there were still a lot of paperback novels that you could buy and sell and trade and that kind of thing. The magazine section was the part that I just absolutely loved when we would go to the store, because you had Life, you had Sports Illustrated, you had Popular Photography, Modern Photography. Are magazines still as big a part today as they were back then?
Not as much, but we do have a lot of calls for Life magazines because it's a lot of ads in there. And Life magazine came out in 1936. It was published up to the late 70s. And people now buy the Life magazines for birthdays. If a person was born in 1940 or 50 or 60, they'll go back to that month and week and get a issue of it. And it shows all the different new products that are coming out and how different it is today from what it was 40 or 50 years ago.
And I guess paperbacks aren't as common as they
paperbacks,
used to be.
Yeah, we don't sell many paperbacks. Mostly all of our books are hardback.
If someone's looking for a book that's been out of print for a number of years, can you help people with that?
We can help them, yes.
Well, thank you very much, Jim and Bob. Appreciate
you
coming
in.
Jim Fallon, who is the owner of the Ohio Bookstore, and local historian and author Bob Wimberg. Coming up next, we'll have a look at a new exhibit at the Lloyd Library called Forest for the Trees. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.